I'm so excited to be here. My name is Deborah Filleda, like Heather said. And Heather, you said it so well. Not everybody says my last name properly. So thank you for that. That's how you know you're at your home church. My name is Deborah Filleda. I'm a licensed counselor, an author, and my husband and I attend Worship Center with our four kids, Ella, Elijah, Ezra, and Ethan. Do you see a theme there? I said it's a good thing we stopped at four because finding biblical names that start with E gets tricky after four. Like we would have ended up resorting to Ecclesiastes and Ephesians and Eldad and Ebenezer and all those strange names. But we're so grateful to be here. I get the privilege of traveling the country and speaking about the healing work of Jesus from my perspective as a counselor. But it's so great to be able to come to my home church and pour in to this body of Christ. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited about the message that God has laid on my heart today. Today we're going to be talking about triggers. What do you think of that? Anyone triggered just by the word trigger? You know, maybe we should have put a big trigger warning before we started service today. But it's such an important subject, and I really believe that it's an area of growth and healing that we need. And I want to start by asking you this. Have you ever been triggered? So what is a trigger? A trigger is a word, action, thought, interaction, or experience that provokes an exaggerated emotional response. And it's usually a negative emotional response, a difficult emotional response. To put it simply, a trigger is something that sets you off. So think about a time in the last 30 days that you were set off. Some of you are like, this morning? You know? This morning, maybe on your way to church, someone cut you off. I know some of you have some road rage. Anyone care to admit their struggle with road rage? She's proud of it too. A few of you here, even you, and you don't even drive yet. That's incredible. Good luck, Mom. The little one raised her hand. Maybe you heard a song on the radio and it reminded you of a relationship that once was but no longer is. Maybe your spouse made a comment about how you always make us late for church, and that triggered you. Do you want to know the most triggering thing my husband says to me? Relax, hun. Anyone else triggered by that? I don't think there's another phrase on earth that makes me feel the exact opposite of relaxed and makes me want to call him the exact opposite of hun. Besides, relax, hun. You know, trigger is a trending word in our culture, and anything can trigger us. A feeling, a taste, a touch, something you think or read or feel or experience. And we're triggered by songs, social media, and sermons. We're triggered by politics, by presidents, and by people. We're triggered in our family, in our marriages, and even in our jobs. If we're honest, triggers are everywhere. I had a guy come up to me after first service and said, to be honest, I'm triggered by the word licensed professional counselor. And he was dead serious because of his experiences from the past. So I'm grateful because I untriggered him today. And him and his wife said, you know what? We're going to consider counseling now. Because sometimes our triggers are actually revealing of something going on underneath the surface of our life. And the message that we get from culture is just to cut off any trigger-inducing thing. Just cut it out of your life. If it triggers you, be done with it. If that book triggers you, throw it in the garbage. If that sermon triggers you, stop going to that church. If that person triggers you, cut them out of your life. If that friend says something triggering, avoid them at all costs. That's what culture tells us. And so what we do is we run from our trigger and we run towards things that make us feel comfortable. We run towards distraction and addiction and compulsions that numb us instead. We run away from our triggers and comfort ourselves with screens and food and substances and shopping and gambling and porn and sex and isolation until our world gets smaller and smaller and smaller until the only thing left in it is us because we're trying to avoid everything that triggers us. But what if triggers are the very thing that invite us into the process of healing? What if triggers actually revealed what needed to be healed inside of us? Today we're going underneath the surface a little bit. And you know, I'm a counselor, so I can't not go underneath the surface. My husband says if a pool is an emotional analogy, he's in the shallow end swimming in his ducky floaty, and I'm in the deep end scuba diving for hours. That's kind of how we roll in our family. So, you know, I can't be up here and not go deep. But you know what? According to the Proverbs, it is wise to go deep. A person who has wisdom learns to go deep. Proverbs 20, verse 5 is a beautiful example in Scripture. And probably it would be the theme of my counseling career if I had to choose one verse. And it says this: the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. According to this passage, your heart, your underlying emotions and motivations and triggers are deep waters. Those are the things that are underneath the surface of your life. But if you have insight, you can draw out those waters and start to figure out what's going on inside of me. It's not just about what's going on around you, but what's going on inside of you. In ancient times, in order to draw out water, what did you do? Did you turn on a faucet and out came the water? No. When this passage of Scripture was written, you'd have to go to the well. And you couldn't go to the well any time of the day. You'd have to go before the sun came up or after the sun set because it was so hot. And you'd have to walk for miles. And you'd bring your bucket and you'd put it down into the well and you would draw out the water one bucket at a time. It took work and intentionality to draw out the waters. And the same with us as human beings. The waters of our life, to have the insight to draw out those waters, it doesn't just happen naturally. We've got to be intentional to put the work into it. A person who is wise has insight and understanding of what's going on underneath the surface of their life, what is going on inside of them. So what's going on inside of you when you're triggered? That's what we want to talk about today. A phrase I often use to describe triggers is emotional sore spots. Have you ever gotten a sore spot? A black and blue mark? A sore spot is usually the result of a previous injury, right? Something that hurt me previously. I was recently leaving the house with my four kids in tow. How many of you know that leaving the house and trying to get somewhere on time with four kids in tow should be an Olympic event? I mean, they should have events to see how fast we can do it and who actually does it on time, because it is an impossible feat. And so you're leaving the house, you've got your stroller, you've got your snacks, you've got your diaper bag, you've got your shoes and socks, because one of the kids is going to get to the car barefoot somehow and tell you they forgot their shoes. Why do they do that? Right? Kids, anyone here forgot their shoes this morning? I bet some of you did. There's that girl again. I love you. You road rage and you forgot your shoes. You know, you've got all the gear, the snacks, And of course, don't forget the children, because some of you in here have like 10 plus kids in Lancaster County. Of course, one of them might get left behind. It's not that uncommon, right? So you gotta make sure you have everything. I was rushing out the door and I was not paying attention and I slammed my shoulder into the coat rack in the laundry room on the way out the door. Oh, you know when you get hurt and you just know in that moment it's gonna leave a bruise? Mm-hmm. I'm glad I'm resonating with you young people today. I did not expect this. And I got this black and blue mark. Later that day, my husband came over to give me a hug. And he put his arm around me and, it hurt. Thankfully, he didn't say, "Relax, hun." Hi. It's my husband right there in the front row. But you know, what's interesting about it is he didn't cause the sore spot, but he pushed on it, right? Unintentionally, but he pushed on it and I reacted. And you know, as we go through life, people and situations will press upon the sore spots of our lives. They may not have caused them, but they press upon them. Emotional sore spots are hurts from the past that are displayed by the hurts in the present. They're revealed by experiences in the present. And the truth is, relationships are often the greatest revealer of our sore spots. Because when you live in isolation, there's nobody pressing up against your sore spots, right? There's nobody pushing on those buttons of your life. Proverbs 27:17 says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." But do you know when iron sharpens iron, sparks begin to fly? And that's why relationships are like a mirror to our deepest hurts. They push on some of those places. And that's exactly the same thing triggers do. They press on the wounds that previously existed. They touch some of the most sensitive areas of our life. Triggers in the present often press on sore spots from the past. Maybe it's that scent of a certain cologne pressing on the sore spot of grief as it reminds you your loved one is no longer here with you. Maybe it's a song played on the radio pressing on the sore spot of a pain from a relationship that once was. Maybe it's that confrontation you had with your boss pressing on the sore spot of insecurity that you felt as a child in the presence of a father you could never please. Maybe it's the argument you had with your spouse, pressing on that sore spot of rejection that you felt as a child who was picked on by your peers. Triggers are everywhere. And as much as they clue us into what's happening in the present, they're also a sign of something deeper, a sore spot that needs our attention. Instead of avoiding triggers, what if we could learn from them? What if we could see triggers as the way that God reveals what needs to be healed in our lives? Triggers are just a sign that there's more healing to be received. There's more healing available. They're an invitation to enter an even deeper layer of healing than you've ever experienced before. From the wounds that have been hibernating in your life, I always tell my clients, if you want to preserve pain, you bury it. Because anything you preserve will last a long time. But if you want to heal from pain, you allow God to bring it up to the surface. What has been hibernating in your life? Maybe it's the wounds of past rejection. or abandonment, insecurities or trauma, the wounds of abuse, divorce, neglect, the feeling that you're not good enough. Triggers are a signal that God is not done and he's still working. I recently wrote a book called Reset, where I explain this foundational counseling principle that I think is so important for you to hear. Thoughts lead to feelings, which then lead to behaviors, okay? If you don't get anything else out of today, remember that formula. Thoughts lead to feelings, which then lead to behaviors. So if you think or believe a negative or false thought long enough, you'll eventually feel a difficult feeling, which will then most likely cause you to behave in a negative or unhealthy way. Thoughts lead to feelings, which lead to behavior. So where do triggers fall in that pattern? Triggers are right in the middle of that formula. They're the feeling that we feel, that overwhelming emotion that we feel, smack dab in the middle of that equation. The feeling that causes you to then behave in a certain way. You feel triggered by the fact that your spouse told you to relax. So you snap back in frustration and you set the cycle for an argument to keep going on and on and on. You feel triggered by your child's disobedience. So you react in anger and say things you should have never let come out of your mouth. You feel triggered by your boss correcting you, and in your feelings of frustration, you storm out of the office, and then you regret it later. But what is really happening underneath the surface of that triggered feeling is a belief system. Thoughts lead to feelings, which then lead to behavior. So what's really happening is an underlying thought process. It's not the trigger itself. It's what you believe that's causing you to react in the way that you're reacting. It's the belief system that you are holding on to. Harmful beliefs such as, I'm not good enough. No one respects me. I'm not worthy to be loved. Something bad is going to happen. No one really cares about me. Even going back to that example of road rage from this morning, when you get cut off, you feel angry. Why do you feel angry? Because not everybody does, right? Some people say, God bless you. If you're gonna act like that, God bless you. Must be an emergency. Maybe your wife is in labor. Right? Not everybody gets road rage. So what is it about you that's causing you road rage? Maybe it's pushing on a wound of feeling disrespect, right? An underlying belief that you're not valuable, you're not worthy. Maybe it's pushing on an old wound of not having power or control at some point in your life. A faulty belief system that's causing you to react. You know, some of these negative thoughts that we have are so automatic that we don't even realize we're thinking them behind the scenes. They're just constantly on replay. And many times our belief system is actually rooted in our past trauma rather than in God's truth. We're living out of the beliefs we formed from trauma rather than the belief in God's unchanging truth. That's why triggers are so important. They're signals. They spotlight a sore spot in our life that God wants to heal and write over our trauma with his truth. John 8:32 says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This isn't just some cutesy verse that we turn into wall art and put on our kitchen just to look pretty, right? That's what we do sometimes with Bible verses. We just make them into cute art to put around our house, but we don't actually believe it. We don't actually live it. This verse is about life and death, freedom versus bondage. Are you believing your trauma or are you believing God's truth? And you know, God's truth is so much better than our truth, isn't it? We live in a culture that tells you, own your truth. Live your truth. But if we really want to help people heal, we need to stop telling them to live their own truth and start telling them to live God's truth, because our truth is tainted by trauma and false beliefs and hurts from our past and present. Our truth is seeped in deep-seated untruths that we have believed over the years. The only truth that really sets us free is God's truth. If you want to know where your most dangerous beliefs lie, I have a homework assignment for you. In the next 24 hours, starting after church today, I want you to start writing down every negative thought that pops into your mind for the next 24 hours. Every single one. Put it on a piece of paper, get your cell phone out, write it in your cell phone. Keep track of every negative thought. And at the end of 24 hours, look through that list. Do you see any themes? Any patterns? Maybe it's belief systems based out of inadequacy or fear and worry that something bad's gonna happen, anxiety. Maybe it's feeling insecure. You're not good enough. What are the belief systems that you are believing? And where did they begin? Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians the power of taking every thought captive. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Listen, this is an active word. This isn't a passive word. Take every thought captive means you capture it. You know, have you ever watched those documentaries where people go out into the wild, the African safari, and they're trying to take a wild animal captive? This is a process. It's not something unintentional. The animal doesn't just come wandering into the cage, right? They have to have a plan and be intentional. Your thoughts are like wild animals. God wouldn't tell you to take something captive unless it was wild. Our thoughts can be wild. You know, and we can't even always believe what our thoughts are telling us. Just because you think something doesn't make it true. So we have to take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. We have to own our thoughts, look them in the eye, and begin challenging them with God's truth. We have to trace those harmful, pesky thoughts back to where they began. Where did the seeds of doubt and insecurity and pain and fear begin for you? Because that's probably what's being triggered. And oftentimes, if we actually want to heal in the present, we've got to go back first. I have a hotline style podcast, which means people call in live with their questions and I process with them on the show from my perspective as a counselor. But oftentimes we do something kind of crazy. We have on-air counseling sessions. Talk about some brave souls signing up for an on-air counseling session where thousands and thousands of people are gonna listen to their junk. Do I have any volunteers? You're brave. One of the clients I had on the podcast was named Justin, and you can listen to this episode a little later today. When back at the resource table, we have a little thing you can scan, the links to all our free resources, and this episode is on there. But Justin came in because him and his wife were in a cycle of conflict, and he was really getting triggered by her to the point where they were thinking they were gonna get a divorce. And specifically, whenever Justin's wife would tell him like she wanted him to be more present or intentional in the marriage because he was a workaholic, he would flip. He would get angry. He would feel triggered, and all of these emotions would come to the surface, and he would just get so defensive and angry, and the conversation ended there. And they were just feeling stuck. Like, what do we do? We can't even have a conversation about this. And he was feeling like she just was never pleased with him. But I'll tell you this, for Justin, the light bulb moment came during our session when he realized that his trigger was less about his wife and more about him. He realized that she was pressing on a deeper hurt from his childhood. You see, Justin grew up in a home with a very high work ethic. I know some of you know what that's like in this room. Very high work ethic. He started working at age 11 just to provide for the family. And he needed to in order for the family to run. He had to make money at that young age. So he started downloading the lie that his value came from his productivity. His value came from the money he brought in. His value came from what he was able to provide for the family. But the other lie with that was his parents weren't pleased with him. He needed to do more and do more and do more because he never got emotional validation. Just bring home more money, Justin. Go back out there, Justin. Go back and cut more lawns, Justin. And so he has this wound of not feeling validated. And guess what? His wife, whenever she would ask him, I need you to be more present, Justin. I need you to be more intentional, Justin. All of a sudden, she was pressing on the sore spot of him not feeling like he's good enough. I wonder if any of you can resonate with that same wound. Whenever his wife would share her needs, he would instantly go back to his belief system. I'm not good enough for her. She's not pleased with me. I am failing. He was responding out of a place of pain rather than out of a place of power. And I wonder if some of you can relate, responding out of your pain rather than out of your power. But in Christ, we always have the power to heal. In Christ, our weakness is actually our strength. In Christ, triggers are nothing more than a sign that there's a deeper level of healing, an invitation to heal, to receive what God wants to pour out over our lives, our families, our marriages. This was a game changer for Justin, and so many people like him, realizing that sometimes the key to healing our triggers is actually going back and healing some of those hard places so that we can be set free to move forward into all that God has for us. When I was writing my book, Reset, you know, I feel like different people have different giftings, right? My gift is writing books. That's why I have 6 with a 7th on the way. It comes easy for me. I have my outline in my head. I've got my thoughts in there that the Lord kind of downloads. I sit down with my outline and my fingers start to fly. Give me 6 to 8 weeks and I can have a book finished for you. But one day I sat down to write and I was right in the middle of writing Reset. And I felt like the Lord said, you're not following your outline today. And I'm like, Lord, I love outlines. I don't like to just wing it. But the Holy Spirit said, I want you to write about something that I want you to write about today, and we're changing your plans. And right there in the middle of Reset, I wrote a chapter called Like a Child, chapter 14. And I felt like the Lord led me to the passage in the book of Matthew 19, verse 14, where Jesus says, let the little children come to me. But this time, I didn't think about what I usually think about. When I read that verse, usually I think about these little ones, you know? All you little guys out there, when Jesus says, let the little children come to me, there's a place for them at the feet of Jesus. Jesus wants to hang out with you, all you cute little people. But that day, you know who else I thought of? I thought of me, my childhood self, my little 8-year-old anxious self, who was afraid the rapture was gonna happen any minute and had to keep checking on my brother in the middle of the night to make sure that nobody got left behind. That was my 8-year-old self. Anxiety. I thought about Justin as a child, working hard, not feeling like he's measuring up. I thought about my clients and the wounds they carry from their childhoods. And I think about you. When Jesus sees you, he doesn't just see the 60-year-old version of you. He sees the 16-year-old version. He sees the 6-year-old version. He sees every version of you and says, there is a place for your wounds here at my feet. No matter how old you were, healing is available at the feet of Jesus. And he says, come, bring your wounds to me. Bring your childhood self to me. Let the little children come to me. I can heal you. I can help you. I can give you what you need. I had a woman come up for prayer after first service who's struggling with mother wounds, feeling that she was rejected by her mom from a young age. And she said, I thought I dealt with it, but I'm struggling. There's a sore spot of rejection in my life that I need the Lord to heal. Friends, what if these triggers were not something to be avoided, but something we could learn from? What if these triggers were lies that have been planted that the Lord wants to uproot out of our life and replace with his truth? I wonder, when did the enemy start planting the seeds of lies in your life? Where and when? And how does the Lord want to heal you from some of those places of your past so that you can be free in the present, no longer bound by your triggers? We're going to take some time today to pray for you and specifically over the triggers that God is revealing in your life from the present as well as the hurts from the past. I'm believing that God is spotlighting some things in your life today. That trigger response that you had, that's not a deficit. It's a signal. And God is saying, hey, spotlight, pay attention. I want to heal this. And I'm going to invite you to come up. I want the prayer team to come up and other church leaders as well. And just stand up here because we're going to receive people in prayer today. We want to pray for every single one of you who needs to be healed from a trigger, from a sore spot in your life. Maybe you're married and you're struggling in your marriage because you're triggered by your spouse and how you respond to each other in conflict. Maybe you're triggered as a parent. Your kids are being disobedient and it's causing something inside of you and you react in anger, unable to control your feelings. If that's you, come up. Maybe you're triggered at work by your coworkers or your boss. Maybe you're triggered just by walking into this room because of hurts that have happened in your past, church hurts that the Lord needs to heal. Maybe you're triggered in your intimacy, your sex life, because of past abuse that has happened to you. I don't know what your triggers are today, but I know that the Lord knows and he sees and he says there is a place for your hurts here. There is healing for your hurts here in Jesus' name. And you know what? Time doesn't heal these wounds, okay? Don't be deceived. Time may only make them worse. If you do not tend to a wound, it could get infected. Time doesn't heal all wounds, but Jesus does. And I want us to be intentional about healing some of those hurting places today. Would you please stand where you're at? And as I'm praying, I want the rest of you to come down as you feel the Holy Spirit's leading. I'm gonna come down and I'm gonna pray with you and for you. along with our prayer team. Our worship team is going to lead us in some songs while we just take the next few minutes, however long. We could be here for half an hour if we need to. You've got your kids. You should be good, right? We can stay as long as we need for the Lord to do what he's going to do. Okay, so don't hesitate. Come on down. A deeper level of emotional healing in Jesus' name. God, we just pray. For a deeper level of healing. We thank you, God, that you are merciful enough to show us our triggers, to reveal our triggers so that you can begin to heal us on a deeper level than ever before. God, we pray for everybody right now that you are prompting their heart into a deeper level of healing, God. I just pray that they would come on down with courage, that you would receive them with joy, God, and that you would invite them into a deeper level of healing than ever before. God, we thank you that you will always say yes to healing, and we're believing you, God, for more. In Jesus' name, amen.